Hello, listeners. Producer Zach here. And listen, I got a quick favor to ask. First of all, thanks so much for checking out the APC podcast. But what would be really awesome is if you guys could head on over to iTunes, subscribe to the show if you haven't already, and please give us a quick rating. It helps boost our profile, makes it way easier for people to find the show. Plus, it'll prove to our corporate overlords over at acmepackingcompany.com that we're worth keeping around. You don't want them to fire us, do you? Wait, don't answer that. Just give us a rating, please and thank you. And now here's the show.
I'm very excited about this. It's going to be a fun Acme Packing Company podcast, the APC podcast this week. We've got Zach Rapport, our producer.
Hello.
With the iTunes promo. We appreciate those who responded to your call to action, by the way, giving us ratings. More of that, please. We've got Ben Foldy, and we've got our corporate overlord here in New York City! Evantex Western has graced the West Village of Manhattan.
Here he is in all three dimensions, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just hoping my audio quality is a little better than the last couple times I've been on with you guys.
It is far better.
Well, this time, if it isn't, it's my fault. So.
Yeah. So we've got, I don't know what we've got. We've got stuff to do. We're going to talk. We're going to have fun.
We've got roster cuts, man.
We've got roster cuts. Big day. I'm just pumped to have a fourth guy in here.
And, of course, the big news, it's on the tip of everyone's tongue, James Jones was cut.
No.
No. Wait, what do you mean tip of it? none of you three knew that.
I knew it.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, yeah. 50% of this podcast.
No. I knew it too. Let the record show that the only person in this room that did not know it was the sole proprietor of AcmePackingCompany.com.
Yeah, I missed it. I don't know how
he only has to get cut by one more team before the Packers can sign him again.
He was traveling. That's what would happen. Yeah, right? Isn't that weird? I actually had that exchange on Twitter with a former colleague, Zach Heilbrin. So, like, I tweeted something about being, like, you know, better a year too early than a year too late. But can you say that when they cut him previously and then he had a really productive year with them 2 years after that? Like, James Jones is, it's like he's only allowed to be productive as a member of the Green Bay Packers. It's kind of weird.
He was actually pretty decent on the Raiders that one season.
He was pretty decent. Actually, you know what? I would like to see him on the Raiders with competent offense.
He caught a lot of footballs that year.
Yeah.
I think it just also speaks to the value of the rapport and relationship between a good quarterback and a good receiver.
Yeah.
It's not like James Jones was like beating people last season. Like, no. He was catching amazing throws like right at the sideline. Like, he did not. Well, and that, he was that, not getting really open.
Yeah. The fourth down catch against Carolina is the one that sticks out in my mind, where he goes up over Josh Norman on that heave from Rodgers in the fourth quarter and just somehow comes down with that football.
You mean the one I completely left out of the top 10 plays that I got to vote on it at acmebackingcompany.com? People were irate about that. No, that was Jason, right? That was like his. That was his crusade.
No, the one that Jason was crusading for was the ridiculous Rodgers scramble touchdown against San Francisco.
Right, which made that still made the list. I voted for that pretty high, just like for degree of difficulty.
Yep, but yeah, that was the one that he was campaigning for like crazy.
So wait, was James Jones yours?
I like that play.
Or did I make that up?
I don't remember who was going crazy.
I remember
about
being
that
on the list and me being like, man. No, like if that's so someone other than Josh Norman, I feel like that's probably not that high up on the list. Anyway, we've got some good stuff to do today on the podcast. We do have Puntergate, which Zach referenced, which is a big deal because the Packers have finally parted ways with Tim Mastay after. Oh, was I supposed to throw it to the newsroom? Let's go down to our Zach Rapport, who's got the latest in Green Bay.
This just in. Thank you, Alex. No, that's all I got.
Okay. Mastay's gone.
Mastay's gone. Yeah.
Or is he? I mean, like, in a weird way, I totally could see them, like, bringing him back in a week and being like, yep, our bad.
All right, so basically what happened, they cut Pete Mortel, who some of us were rooting. I feel like all of us were kind of rooting for.
He's
just
like
the
a
story.
Local kid.
Oh, yeah, you can't help but root for the story.
Yeah.
He's like the Rudy of the Packers.
Yeah, Green Bay kid, like, you know, literally was riding the bikes to practice and then gets to be the, you know, or was the kid who had a player ride his bike to practice and then gets to be the player. Like, how cool is that? The Packers cut him, and Tex and I were actually just talking about this over some tacos here. Shout out to our sponsors over at Tacombi.
Get at
time,
us.
Thank you.
Were they good?
Get at.
They were
yeah,
delicious.
They were great. Did you liked them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The chorizo. Perfect.
Have you been to Los Tacos Numero Uno?
Yes, in Chelsea Market.
Yeah, those are the bomb.
Those are like you've mastered something when you're like thinking about like what to name your place. You're like a taco place, and you're like, we're just going to be called the Tacos.
The number like, one taco.
That's like yeah, literally yeah. like
sorry.
Okay, yeah,
come,
like you're the burger
to
joint.
Us guys.
If
come
you're,
back
if
to
you're
us.
In New York. You should hit up Los Tacos Numero Uno.
No, but
18
seriously,
of our 19 listeners don't know what we're talking about right now.
No, but oddly enough, I remember like I had people tweet at me asking for recommendations, like two people, like for
this.
That's more.
No,
than
no. Well, like through a previous job, and they were like, oh, where should I go in New York City or whatever? Because that was shortly after I said I was coming here and I had moved here, and I told them to go there, and. Like they still like every now and then will reference it and be like, oh my god, it was mine. They're so good.
They're really good tacos.
So good.
What's it called?
Los Tacos Numero Uno.
Oh,
right.
Okay, that's like a directive.
Yeah, exactly. What right. are we talking about? We're talking
punters.
About punters.
Yeah.
And then chorizo, and then
but there's not that much tacos. To say about punters. There's a lot to say about tacos.
So we got Jake Shum.
So many toppings.
Shum, scum,
I'm going scum.
Shum, scum. Yeah.
No, let's get him off on a good foot, so yeah. to speak.
Hey, like, I don't have a rim shot sounder.
I see what you did there.
So all right, let's make
know.
A decision right now.
I
We're
can't be like
Shum?
angry about Maste and then be like, oh, we signed somebody else. Fuck this dude.
Are we going Shum officially?
You're
or
looking
Shum?
At me like I'm the official name
Shum.
Keeper.
Shum it is.
Shum, not Shum.
Yeah, and then we'll look it up later.
Yeah.
That's what paired podcasters do.
Exactly.
Where are Key and Peele when you need
We're not
them.
Even going to edit this out. We can, but we could get the correct pronunciation.
We'll do it live.
We're not going to do it.
It's all in there.
Yeah. So anyway, Packers have a new punter. They get rid of Maste. That was shortly after they cut Mortel, which made us all kind of feel like, oh, you know, Maste's here to stay. And then Mike McCarthy goes on and says he's in the driver's seat when there's no one in the passenger seat. There's no one in the back seat.
It's unclear what he's driving.
It's a motorcycle.
He's not driving. Yeah, exactly.
It's a sidecar.
It's a unicycle. So obviously, you know, he's in the driver's seat.
Apparently
but,
it was a bus out of town is what it was.
Exactly. So Maste's gone. And again, these are the things you talk about when your team's good. But thoughts?
Whatever.
I feel like there's a part of Packer Nation that feels very passionately about, like, about Peter Mortel. There's a part that feels very passionately about Tim Maste, and I fall in like neither of those slices of that Venn diagram.
The thing that I'm gonna miss about Tim Maste is his amazing nickname, the Ginger Wolverine.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that's definitely gonna be the thing I think that Acme Packing Company misses most about Tim Maste.
The Ginger Wolverine.
Yeah.
Was that, do we know who gave him that?
Wasn't that Rodgers?
Was
I think
it?
So.
Yeah, I think it was
that
Rodgers.
That seems a little too good for his nicknaming ability.
What are some other nicknames?
I've always had a chip on my shoulder because...
What was his nickname for you? Is that where this comes from?
No, I don't have a nickname. If I had a nickname from Aaron Rodgers,
would I be here talking
would be
to
your
you
name.
Losers?
Yeah,
you
would have legally changed your name to...
Give me a
whatever.
Break.
Yeah.
No, I submitted a question back when he did a weekly radio show one time, asking like what the like yeah I think it was like a multiple choice question of like what the nickname for James Stark should be, and he totally vetoed my submission,
which was
timely and was a nice cultural reference, and it was the Starknado.
Oh yeah,
because Sharknado was big.
I
and
was
he goes,
I remember listening to that episode live. Actually,
do you?
That was
yeah,
your question. Okay.
Yeah, that was mine. And yeah, you know what he's like? He's like, no, like we have a nickname for James Starks. You know what the nickname for James Starks is?
Starksy.
Jim. I guessed right. All right.
Real original.
That's terrible.
That made so like now I only really refer to Starks as Jim more often than not.
Well, now that we're like talking about the question that you sent Ask Aaron like 3 years ago, maybe we should do headlines.
What's the point of having someone try to drive the show if you have to do it yourself anyway?
Who's in the driver's seat?
Yeah, I'm.
And where is it going?
I'm in the Maste driver's seat, clearly. Yeah, let's do that if that's what that's what we're supposed to do.
No, is that what you want to do?
I don't know, man. We got our boss here, and it's getting weird.
You're right.
We're
okay.
supposed to like put on our best face, and I feel like so far we've put on
tacos are a good face.
It's true.
Los Tacos.
Text
on that note, let's go to headlines.
All right. All right, per our corporate overlord. Pulled from the front page at acmepackingcompany.com, here are your headlines sponsored by Ted Thompson's pristine white New Balance sneakers. Just like Ted, they're clean, sturdy, reliable, and don't have much to say. First up on the blog, Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater suffers serious knee injury. Minnesota's franchise quarterback went down in a heap at practice today after suffering what has now been confirmed as a torn ACL. His season is over. While anybody cheering an injury is a grade-A dirtbag, you have to think that this injury does change the division landscape and makes the Packers' road to the division crown a little less rocky, Alex.
Where do you go from there?
Yeah. Agreed. I never really thought the Vikings were going to be like some... I say this understanding that they won the division last year, but this is the Packers' division. Now, what I think is interesting is something that we talked about a couple weeks ago on the podcast when we were previewing the NFC North with APC's own Paul Noonan, and that the Vikings were probably going to significantly cut into Adrian Peterson's workload, right? And because they're still doing things the way old school football is being played, like when we were growing up, and not the way other teams do that. I feel like they're going to have to immediately revert back to that now, and it's just going to be a huge setback to the organization because you have a 30-something-year-old running back now who's going to get run into the ground. They're probably going to lead the league in rush attempts again, and they're not going to finally have that year, you know, for Teddy Bridgewater to take that leap and kind of, like, join...
The third-year leap.
Yeah, join, like, 2016... NFL offense. So I'm kind of bummed in a weird way. Like, I was looking forward to having a team that felt like it was a legitimate contender, and Bridgewater's a likable guy.
So I think going down the depth chart, you've got an interesting setup here. Sean Hill has been a decent backup. He played pretty well in Detroit for a couple of years. He had a halfway decent season in St. Louis 2 years ago. I mean, as good as you can under Jeff Fisher. Really interesting to me is that we are now one play away from Joel Stavi starting NFL quarterback. And that's a sentence I never thought I would say in my life.
Is that something you're proud of? As a
Wisconsin fan, I never thought I would see the day that Stavi was, you know, second string on an NFL depth chart, but here we are. And you know what? To his credit, he's fought through it in camp. He earned the third string job, and now, based on circumstance, he's the backup.
Did they make a call for Sanchez?
That's what I was going to say.
Or Kaepernick.
Yeah, I definitely...
Have the Niners like really decided that they're going to part ways because of that?
Who knows?
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to look into a veteran backup somewhere. So Sanchez probably makes some sense. But at this point, I mean, who else is out there? Aaron Murray, I know Kansas City was talking about trying to trade him, but they're just going to cut him anyway. So... Yeah, you'll probably bring in a veteran backup.
Sanchez is very accustomed to handing the football off and like hoping for the best for your defense.
And
he went
running
to two
into
NFC,
the back,
AFC championships.
And running into the backside of offensive line.
He could actually, you know what, fumble. He wouldn't be a bad fit for Diggs. I mean, his deep ball is not terrible.
You're concerned.
I love Diggs. I also drafted Diggs. I always draft
Stephon
Diggs.
Talking fantasy
Diggs.
With Ben Foldy.
Diggs is my boy.
All right.
So how many fantasy teams do you have?
I have three this year.
Do you have Stephon Diggs in every
I've only
league?
Drafted on one, but I anticipate having Stephon. I probably won't draft Stephon Diggs anymore, but I did draft him on Sunday night.
Well, true, yeah, the injury is going to change that. I kind of wish your drafts had happened before. Well, not. I don't want you to do poorly.
That's okay.
Next!
All right, next up on the blog. Ted Thompson made a trade, you guys! The Packers trade Laurante McCray to the Bills for a 2018 draft pick. So, Alex, I'll pose the question first to you.
Trader Ted,
Trader Ted.
We texted about this during the week in our, you know, our prep texts. We do a lot of prep there.
We do a lot of bullshit.
It clearly comes through in the final.
Alex is looking at me for approval right now.
Just letting you know, we're always thinking about the show, even when we're not
slyly
doing
slips
it.
A $10 bill across the.
and one of the things we were talking about, it wasn't an original thought at all. It was written Packers, I don't know what it's called anymore. It's like the Journal, but it's also the Press Gazette. I'm just going to call it PackersNews.com.
Yep.
I was reading it, and they were talking about the potential of trading one of the receivers, right? Because the reality at that position now is, like, a lot of guys that they might practice squad because they don't want to carry that many receivers would probably get picked up elsewhere. So maybe you trade one and try to get value in return. Wrong position, right idea. Outside linebacker, Ben has been big on this because I think he had to do a lot of research on the outside linebackers.
Thanks, Brian Caribou.
Yeah, thanks a lot for turning us onto that position. It actually paid off. But that's another position they were insanely deep at, and the reality is, like, McCray's probably going to – I mean, I assume he'll be on the Bills 53, right?
Yeah.
So it's a conditional draft pick. So he couldn't crack the two deep on Green Bay. And this is a guy – I mean, do we know what he could really be? I don't know. He seems like a serviceable player. He made a couple plays in the preseason. He had a sack last week in the third preseason game. But he couldn't even crack the Packers two deep. It's a testament to how good they are at that position right now.
Well, and I think McCray and J'Ron Elliott are very much the same kind of player. They bring a lot of special teams value. They bring maybe a little bit of rotational value on defense at outside linebacker. But essentially, they're the same kind of player. And you're going to go with the guy that you are comfortable with, who knows your defense, who's been around for a little longer, and a guy who's shown you a little bit in the last couple preseasons, and he had that big game against Seattle last year. So I think the fact that he's got a little tenure in Green Bay probably helped him be the guy who stuck around.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting J'Ron to make the 53, and now he probably will, and I'm good with that, because I like J'Ron.
Me too. I like saying his name.
Playron?
Playron Elliott. I came up with that.
I know
was
you
me.
Did.
Just me.
I like that.
Finally today, it's the cut tracker. Today was cut down day for the 75-man roster.
God.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Ben making some off-air motions, which we will not describe.
It wasn't what you think.
Today was cut down day for the 75-man roster, and if you followed along with the blog, you learned that the Packers have parted ways with the following players: Ed Williams, Peter Mortel, Demetrius Anderson. Oh, man.
Who's
that? I don't know. Randall Jetty, Derek Matthews, Harvey Binford. Laurenti McCray, Kennard Backman, spelled with a capital A because I can't type, John Crockett, Jacob Flores, Mitchell Henry, and Josh Walker. The chips have fallen. Do any of these names surprise you?
I mean, Crockett's because of injury, but if it weren't, and he were still cut, it would, because on our podcast last week, we were talking about how, oh, he's totally safe. Remember that dumb idea about them carrying two running backs and letting all of them go? Now that kind of seems like it could be a reality, right? Because I don't know that Crockett being cut guarantees Burns making the team, right?
Burks. No, probably not a guarantee, but he did look pretty good on Friday.
He doesn't belong on the team. I don't even know his name.
That's how highly you think of him.
No, I thought he looked pretty good on Friday against San Francisco.
But do you think that guarantees him a roster spot?
It's with
practice squad eligibility? Like, again, I don't know that two running backs is a thing that teams do, but why not?
I don't know. I never ran an NFL team. I think part of the nice thing about cutting Crockett is that you almost get, like, he's not going to sign with anybody else while he's hurt. So the one upside to running with two running backs is that if you end up in a position where you need Crockett, you can assume that probably won't be before he comes back, hopefully. But
yeah, and I mean, what do you use your third running back for? You sub him in a little bit, you know, in the second or third quarter, and then you use him on special teams. Well, you can use that roster spot on maybe an inside linebacker, maybe another outside linebacker, somebody who can provide some special teams ability. You're not really losing all that much on game day, because for half the season last year, the Packers only had two running backs active on game day anyway. So to your point, yeah, maybe it's not that crazy.
What's your take? Actually, this is something we talked about last week too, and just thinking about, like, the roster makeup, because they've had a lot of young safeties who have stood out, and I know there's some buzz about some of the young corners. Could you, in kind of a similar way to where maybe two running backs is a little bit unconventional, but you can get away with it? Can you get away with four corners? I don't know why I've randomly made this like my crusade, but when one of your safeties is Micah Hyde, who has played corner before, and behind Gunter, it's kind of just like no one has really gone like and really grabbed that job, I don't think. Whereas at the safety position, like Marwin Evans and Kentrell Bryce have both made a significant bid. So, like, could you see a roster that might have six safeties when one of them's a hybrid safety corner anyway?
Yeah, I think Hyde's versatility is the key to that whole equation. And the health of both Burnett and Clinton Dix is key there, because obviously one of those guys goes down, Hyde is stepping into the starting lineup at safety you know, either way. And so then, yeah, that takes away a little bit of your depth. But I like Hawkins. I like him a lot. He made a couple of plays when I was up at practice this summer in minicamp. I still think he's going to make the team, and it was going to be five corners and five safeties, but it wouldn't be that crazy.
I have a completely sort of unrelated question, but it is about a cornerback. If you go to BYU, does that necessarily mean you're a Mormon?
Not necessarily.
No. Okay, I wasn't sure, no. But I like.
But you do have to follow.
You
like,
have to follow their code of
rules. Code
like
of, code of conduct.
It's like if you go to Marquette, ethics. You don't have to be a Jesuit.
Yeah, but I feel like BYU is like a little more like
culty.
Intense. Yeah. I don't know.
I do actually have a fairly large group of friends who are Mormons, so I know a little more about that whole situation than I feel like many people do. So yeah. You don't have to be Mormon to go there, but yeah, you've got to follow the.
But it helps.
Yeah.
No, I was just. I mean, like, I don't know. Anyway, Roberts, we have a lot of possible Mormons.
Lot of possible Mormons.
Well, wait, Kyler Fackrell's Mormon.
Kyler Fackrell must be a Mormon.
Hot take. A lot of possible Mormons.
Was Brady Papinga was presumably a Mormon?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he went on a mission before he declared for the draft, yep. If I recall.
Well, he's an interesting fella.
He is.
Yeah.
If you're listening, which you're not. Come on the show.
Great name.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Brady Pop. Anyway, that's all I have to add to the cornerback debate. I was looking over this sheet, and I'm
he said that because Roberts and Daniel went to BYU. For the record.
Yeah. And
speaking of Roberts and Daniel, fun nugget. Yesterday I saw making its rounds on Twitter because there was coach availability, assistant coach availability. You know what's really cool? That
Joe Witt?
Yes. Isn't that such a fun thing? Isn't that like? Are we talking about the same thing?
I think so.
Or are you just saying that Joe Witt?
Well, no, I just think Joe Witt's cool, and Joe he's Witt awesome at coaching Joe cornerbacks. Cool.
Since none of the listeners can make eye contact with you, what are you talking about?
No, so I thought he was. I was going to let him do it. So Joe Witt
quit
is
holding
cool,
hands,
and the fact that Joe Witt in the Wall Street Journal piece at the end of last year, forgive me for not remembering who actually wrote that. He's got a lot of cool and interesting things to say, one of which was that he prefers his corners not to have corner experience, but that's not what I'm talking about because that was last offseason. He goes into practice and talks to Aaron Rodgers, and maybe this is way more common than I think, but basically says, like, look, we need a really good look at this guy this week because roster cuts are coming up, so you need to attack him. And that's kind of what's been happening at Packers practice. And I guess Robertson Daniel was like the most recent, I don't know if you want to call it victim, because in a weird way, it's like giving you an opportunity to make the team or make a bid to make the practice squad or whatever it might be. But I think that's cool. Like, I think that it's cool that like Joe Witt is sitting there talking to the quarterback being like, look, abuse the hell out of this guy because we're deep and I'm trying to figure out what this
make
guy's
him, make him prove himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Kevin Clark is the author of that piece, I think.
Oh, good find. Yeah. Yes.
No, I think that's a great way to do it, especially when Aaron's taking all these scout team reps in the middle of the preseason anyway. He's not getting ready to play, except for maybe the third game. Throw him out there with some of the young receivers on the scout team and go at these guys. I think it's a great idea. I love it.
Is he a future coordinator? Like, yes. I guess it's. I mean,
without hesitation, I say yes.
Are you talking about Witt or Rodgers?
If the Packers, well, I don't know. I mean,
Rodgers, I think. We'll be happy to be done with football.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be coaching. Yeah. I just don't see him as a coach. No, I meant more Witt because...
He's too Hollywood for coaching.
I mean...
Sorry, that was my inner JS comments.
Witt is going to... If the Packers really do end up having one of the best secondaries in the league...
Which they will.
It will be with three corners who have, at least coming into their NFL careers, probably combined out of any three corners like in the league on any roster, the least amount of experience playing corner, right? I mean,
well, yeah, to your point about
like,
that,
I'll never get over how cool that is.
That Wall Street Journal piece. I mean, that's he loves his guys raw. He wants to teach them from the ground up, you know, break down those skills and basically start from scratch. And yeah, he's done a great job with these guys.
I mean, they pretty much all worked except for what's his face? Blah, blah, blah. Suspended for four games.
Oh,
Dimitri
Goodson.
Who I don't hate. I was excited about Goodson.
No,
years.
I was talking about Casey Hayward, but I guess you can't really say
no,
that.
Casey,
he didn't
I don't
know
he worked out, right?
Yeah, Hayward.
And he played corner for a long time.
It's just right. PFF.
Yeah.
I don't hate him.
You hate PFF.
I don't hate PFF either. I just thought it was a dumb claim for them to make. It was
what?
Football Outsiders liked him too, for the record.
That he was the best cornerback on the Packers.
So that's your primary beef with them?
With who? Hayward or PFF?
With PFF.
With PFF.
Yeah, I thought it was dumb.
Do you hate like the? Is there anything else about it you like? Do you fundamentally disagree with like their system?
No, last season we ended up in that situation too, where I think it was the Chiefs game where Rodgers threw like 5 touchdowns and they gave him a negative grade.
Right.
And we're just like, come on! Like, there's some point where you have to like look at it and be like, okay, that's stupid. But you know, I get what they do. Like, I get that it's like trying to quantify the qualitative, but Casey Hayward was never the best cornerback on the Packers.
So evaluating cornerbacks is interesting. Jason made a really good point on Twitter the other day that scouts are split on Sam Shields. They either think that he's really great or he can be taken advantage of, and I think it's because he takes a lot of chances on the ball. Mm. And the thing with Shields is he's got the speed to make up for that and to compensate for the fact that he likes to take those chances.
He can catch the ball, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, he converted wide receiver. Again, right. The guy who played 1 year of corner in college. And so I think that's why Pro Football Focus doesn't really like Shields so much, is because he takes some chances that they don't like,
yeah,
but that he's able to make up for it because he can recover so well.
Yeah, but then you also have to look at it. You're like I can't remember Casey Hayward like ever marking somebody out of a game. You know, like
he's not a shutdown guy.
No,
get off by Casey Hayward.
No. It seems for me that like cornerback stuff is so situational. I mean, like I remember Shields got tore up last season by Keenan Allen in the Chargers game.
Oh yeah,
Keenan Allen tore everybody up until he tore his knee up or whatever it was.
Lacerated.
Oh,
kidney.
That's right.
Catching a touchdown, no less. Oof. He caught the ball and sacrificed.
Lacerated is not a word you want associated with your injury.
No.
Is it the same injury Andrew Luck had? Did he have a lacerated kidney?
Al Harris had a lacerated spleen, I think.
Yes,
at one point.
That was a spleen.
Which I think is what killed Houdini.
I think you're right, yeah. Well, he took a punch from a boxer.
Famous. It's not totally random. Houdini
talking
is
backers.
He's a famous Wisconsin,
he
right?
Is. It's true.
It's true.
This is way less random than your previous reference, which I've already forgotten.
Tacos?
No.
Huh.
What was the other one before?
In the Tool Time? Harvey Binford?
No, not that one either.
What are you talking about? Exciting, my reference?
Exciting stuff.
BYU. Yeah, I guess I guess that wasn't that random because you were
looking at
the
Robertson Daniel.
Yeah, but it was weird to just come out of nowhere and just with
I don't know.
Is everyone who goes to BYU?
Well, on the nice prep sheet that I made everyone, it does say the college that all the players went to, so it makes
nice
sense
to see some Alcorn State representation, yeah, even though he won't make the team.
Donald Driver, alma mater. Yeah. So I'm curious. I want to get your guys' thoughts on the defensive line. Like, obviously, this is a thin group. We've got, what, 2 players who've ever taken NFL snaps in Daniels and Guyon, and Guyon's nursing a little bit of an injury. Who do we keep beyond that? Obviously, Clark sticks around. Lowry's done enough that he's probably on the roster, but you got to figure they keep 5. Who's the 5th one going to be?
Brian Price, I guess.
See, and that's where I've been going. I like Price. I think with Guyon a little banged up, I think Price can play some nickel, but he can play the nose. And but you know, Ringo hasn't really done enough to guarantee himself a spot. Where else do you go?
It's amazing how thin they are there.
Yeah,
like really on a team that is so deep. I mean, if you look at the other levels of their defense, and granted, middle linebacker is still unproven, but still, you're going to have to make a tough cut.
They have enough bodies.
Right, they have enough bodies.
Well, and Carl Bradford looks like he's taken a step this year, so that helps a lot.
Right, so you can keep 4 guys there and feel like the 4th guy on our roster, at the very least, is worth carrying on a 53-man roster. Secondary, forget it. I mean, there's guys who are going to be on their practice squad or cut who can play on a lot of other teams. Defensively, like, if you take their defensive line and put it, like, you put it on someone else's roster, like, and compare it. Like, I mean, Mike Daniels and maybe LaTroy Guyon are probably the only guys who make the team. I guess, well, we'll forget it. We haven't even mentioned Mike Pinnell, but I mean, he's suspended.
Right. Well, yeah. So. And that hurts, you know, those first 4 weeks of the season.
And Clark's a first round pick, but he's like, this has been a while for, I mean, he's like kind of, you know, coming along,
Well, they're
along.
Probably being gentle with him too, because they know that they don't have that many bodies.
Right. You know? Is he guaranteed to just play right away, just by default?
I think you'll see him in the nickel right away. just because they need bodies.
Yeah. So wait, is Lowry going to start that? Like, if they're in their base defense.
Probably, I think. They really like Guyon at the nose. They love him on the nose. Yeah. He was so good there in 2014, you know, when Raji was out. And then they tried to move him back to five tech last year, and he just, you know, he wasn't a factor at all. And so, yeah, I think they probably put Guyon on the nose in the 3-4. That was kind of why I threw one out yesterday. Should they take a look at Terrence Knighton, who just got cut by the Patriots? Played in Washington last year, was in Denver a couple years before that. Even if all he is a run stuffer in the base, then you put him out there at the nose and you keep Guyon a little fresher for passing situations and have him in there in the nickel and the dime.
Well, with Ted Thompson all loosey-goosey wheeling and dealing and making trades, I mean, maybe, hey.
He has made some late training camp / preseason trades before.
But the last one before this year, I believe, was 2009 when he traded Caleb Schlauderoff for like a 6th-round pick to the Jets.
That was a good pronunciation. Can I hear that again?
Schlauderoff. And then before that, the big one that he made that actually did anything was the Ryan Grant trade.
Right.
And obviously that one worked out pretty well. But
that was when they were desperate at running back. Because didn't they also, they made another trade. They traded Sam Congato. Mm-hmm. That was like another preseason trade for what's his name?
Vernon Morency.
Yes. I was convinced was going to be great.
A lot of people, I remember thinking Morency was going to be
great. And he was on the original Texans, like the OG Texans, like the 2000, whatever. When did they join the NFL? It was like early 2000s, right?
I think 2002.
I think he might have been on the original Texans team.
With what's his face?
Dom Capers is the head coach.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
And David Carr.
I was trying to remember which Carr.
Derek's brother.
David Carr.
No, Derek's the one that's in Oakland probably going to
Speaking of Sam Congato, he got his medical degree about a year and a half ago. So he made it to medical school. He made it through. He's working as a surgeon someplace. And
did he do his MD at Liberty too? Do they do MDs at Liberty? Because his undergrad was Liberty.
You're looking
University.
At the wrong guy.
I think so.
Oh, man. I like Sam Congato, and then I'm like, oh, man, Liberty University. But
thus ends our semi-regular segment, checking in with Sam Congato.
All right, so let's talk about the wide receivers, the most interesting position group on the team, I would think, given how competitive it is to earn a roster spot. Geronimo Allison had a big preseason game in the dress rehearsal, as they call it. What do you think is going to happen there? Are they going to keep seven? Is Allison going to make it if they try to practice squad him, or is he going to be on somebody else's 53? How do you see that playing out, Tex?
I think there's eight guys who have proven that they deserve NFL roster spots, and or at least roster spots in Green Bay. Davis, you can debate on him, but he's a 5th-round pick, and Ted's not going to cut him. So Allison certainly, I think, has outplayed Davis and deserves a spot on a roster. I think the point that I think it was McGinn who made it about trading a guy away. I think you've got to get something for one of those guys, because if you cut one of them, they're gone. So Allison, I'd love to see him on the Packers, but I think he's probably the one who ends up being the odd man out. And I do think they keep seven. I don't think at this point that the way that those guys have played that you can really justify keeping less than that.
So do you see it? Well, no, because now Janice is healthy, right? So like
that kind of complicates things to some extent, because you can't
almost
put him on
could
IR.
Have started right. You almost could have started the year with him hurt and then keeping six.
Damn you, Janice!
But it really being
well,
seven
he took the cast off today in practice. He was practicing without his cast on.
Right.
So I mean that makes you think. Well, there's the Janice Sonder. Thank you.
But the stigmata was still there.
3 days later, he removed the cast. And practiced.
So
full.
It seems like there's a bit of a logjam at receiver, but we're kind of in the same soup, right? Only two of them are proven. The rest of them we think can be good and have had nice practices and have had nice preseason games. They still only have two good receivers.
And Adams has been so maddening this year, and somebody summed it up really well in practice. He has made the toughest catches of anybody all summer long, but he's also had the dumbest drops that you can possibly imagine. So that's, unfortunately, I think that's what you're going to get with him at this point.
As we've learned to say on the APC podcast, that's the duality of man.
Yes. I thought people were harshing on him a little for that drop
in the end zone
the other day.
Yeah.
With the one-handed stretch, I'm like,
that was
on.
A ridiculous throw by Callahan, for the record.
It was a good throw, but it wasn't like the easy, it wasn't like something that he should come up with. I would give him maybe like a 60.
I agree. That was a little overblown. It was, and I was guilty of doing it on Twitter on the APC Twitter account. I was, you know, I threw out a Dropante, I think, but I regretted that almost immediately. But
and I mean, I wasn't aiming that at you. I just I read a bunch of people being like, "Oh my God, Devonte, another drop." I'm like, "Yeah, he was like in midair with one hand full extension, and he didn't come down with it. What are you gonna do?"
And then he made that really tough catch on fourth down in traffic a couple plays later to keep that drive alive.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know. He'll get the job.
Is that really that different from James Jones early in his career, though? I mean, he had a lot of bad drops and a lot of ridiculous catches.
Jones used to fumble all the time.
Yep.
That was the thing that I remember about James Jones early on was I was just like, my God, hold on to the football.
Yeah, he fixed it in like a major way, though, because then he had that one season where I don't think he had like a single drop, or maybe he had one.
And the Packers.
And he led the NFL in receiving touchdowns. Yep.
Knock on wood, still haven't fumbled in this preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just jinxed it, of course. Yep. But
you mentioned
they can fumble all they want in the fourth game of the preseason.
Yeah,
those are
meaningful preseason snaps.
Hey, it's meaningful for Edgar Bennett, who gets to call plays, okay? That's kind of cool.
That's my impression of Edgar Bennett calling plays.
Kevin Green? Nice. You mentioned Joe Callahan. Can we give a little shout out to our favorite Brett Favre impression of the week for Joe Callahan? Just running around and slinging it, and then his guys go up and make a looking play. Like, that was kind of fun.
Looking like a kid out there.
Yeah.
All the Favre cliches. No, that was a lot of fun to watch. He was all over the damn place.
Yeah. And you've been shitting on Callahan for like multiple weeks in a row now.
Yeah, it was like intolerable football a lot of the time. But you know what? If you're just gonna run around and do stupid stuff and it works. Then guess what? You could be a Hall of Famer if it works for 20-something years.
The throw to Allison in the third quarter on the touchdown drive was great.
Yeah,
crossbody to his right.
That rollout throw, to Abby was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that the touchdown at the end of the first half.
There was one where he slipped the sack that looked so like so glaringly imminent,
and then there's the one where he ran right into the sack.
Womp womp.
It's the duality of man
again. Yeah,
I think we need a sounder for that one.
Do I have a womp womp? I don't think I do right
now. Just a duality of man sounder.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You got to come up with something for that. Something
I guess
poignant.
There's that line in Full Metal Jacket. That's
where they say the duality of man.
He says, "Yeah, it's you know, it's like he's like, what's why do you have the peace sign on your helmet and born to kill?" And he's like, "It's you know, something about the duality of man."
All right, next week.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I'm not here next
Stay
week.
Stay tuned.
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks
after the season opener, that's when I'll do.
Where
it.
Are you going?
What?
Where are you going?
Going to New Mexico.
Oh, nice. Word?
Yeah.
Do you like nature
that's
and stuff?
Cool.
Yep, nature and stuff. Got the New Mexico bird. Guide.
He's gonna come
True
back.
Story.
He's gonna be talking all about.
Wait,
like,
are you going bird
it's
watching?
It's dry heat. you don't understand. It's dry heat.
Now seems like as good a time as ever to hit the polka music. But I do enjoy amateur bird watching and nature. Enjoy.
Where do you normally enjoy that?
I only enjoy professional bird watching.
Yeah. A competitive sport. In New York, you can go to Central Park, and there's
like actual birds, not like
yeah. No, there's
mutants.
There's a real Central
do you,
Park.
Do you get the binoculars and everything?
Oh, we've got two pair of binoculars.
There's red tails in Central Park.
There's lots of different birds in Central Park. There's actually a very specific area of the Ramble, I think, where they had like set up a bunch of feeders, and there's like. Many, many, many different kinds of like very cool looking birds. They're not just your average sparrows. And wow, this is like we're really going in the weeds.
This is
here.
Not the. I mean, it's.
Well, what's the bird version of the weeds? I mean, birds don't hang out in the weeds.
That's true.
Like,
I just mean like for a football podcast, we're in the clouds. Have like weird me
is
talking
that the
about
purpose
birds.
Of the trip? It's
no, okay. Not at all. No, the purpose is to like.
I like how you're like I'm getting out of here, and Alex is just like, no, you're not. I'm bringing you.
I need
here.
To know more about bird watching.
No, we're flying to Albuquerque, renting a car, and doing Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Carlsbad Caverns, White Sands. Basically, you can take like a few freeways and do like a circle around the whole state.
Do bats count as birds?
No,
but there is a specific spot where we will be able to see like millions of bats at dusk, which we are planning
Sick.
Into our trip. So
Was there a segment coming up?
Yeah, I don't know.
We're just kind of wrapping up the show here. But I do have some sort of rapid fire over under questions to send us off on a football note before we go away.
Here. Get physical.
How many birds was Axie on his
time
trip? 35?
<No. laughs> Over under. I mean, honestly, it's like 100 I count sometimes. But anyway. wow, that's embarrassing. Okay. All right. Over under on the season for all of these. Jordy Nelson, 9 touchdowns. Alex.
Give me the over.
Tex.
Under.
I will also take the under.
Ben takes the under. Okay, moving on. Eddie Lacy, 1,100 rushing yards. Alex.
Give me the
You can also
over.
Push. You can push if you want.
I'll actually push on Nelson. I think it'll be... It was 9?
9.
Yeah, I'll take the push on that.
All right.
I'm going over on Lacy. I am really high on Lacy this year. I think he's due for a big season.
I am also going over on Lacy.
Rodgers, 33 touchdowns passing.
Now I'm just going to sound like a homer, but over.
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 I'd agree with that. Jared Cook, 5 touchdowns.
Over.
I'm going under because I think Richard Rodgers is the red zone guy.
I agree.
Yeah, for context, Alex, Jermichael Finley's career touchdowns per season, 3, 2, 8, 1, 5, 1.
Did I say over?
Yeah.
Oh. I meant under.
Wow, we finished the song already. One last question. As a team, +5 turnover differential, which is what they were last year.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, but if I go over on every single, I mean...
You're a big homer.
I'm not. I just think that this team...
This is a Packers podcast. We're all fans.
Okay.
That's okay.
Turnover differential has a lot to do with your quarterback, and they're always going to be in good shape because of who plays quarterback. And I think they have a good pass rush, and I think that is where you start when you start looking at creating turnovers. So, over.
I'm going over. The Packers finished 28th in recovered fumbles last year. And that's a very luck-based stat. So I think that kicks up a couple. I think they're over.
Regression to the mean. I think the secondary takes a step forward, too. Not that they have that much room to come forward. But, yeah, I mean, I don't see this defense being any worse than last season, and they were pretty good last season.
Is that the same thing as the Aristotelian mean that you busted out on, like, our first show ever?
Yeah, I remember that. In this very room, I believe.
Yeah, you made some mention about that.
No. Reverting to the mean is not the Aristotelian mean. The golden mean, as it is known.
College graduate Ben Foldy, everybody. Well, we ran out of polka. We've never done that before, but I think that means that the show's over.
You can hit it again if you want.
Let's polka.
I'm not ending this unless I get the polka.
Yeah,
there you go.
Good time vibes.
Fire it up. The old
now I'm done. Polka. You guys remember that Trex commercial with Brady Quinn? No, I'm done. Hey, thanks for listening. It was cool having you here. I don't know that we'll do this again, but I hope so.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. This was a great time.
Just move to New York. No big deal, right?
Yeah. Easy peasy, right?
They got nuclear stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an inside joke. For those of you listening at home, Tex is a nuclear engineer.
Yeah. Most people don't actually know what I do in my day job, but now they do.
Oops.
No, that's fine.
We can edit it out.
It's not a secret. It's fine. It's just
not like that's something to be ashamed of.
Hang your head in shame,
I just choose not to advertise it, but it's all good.
Don't worry. We'll edit it out.
Nah.
If you want.
No.
Cool. I think that's a show.
I think that is a show.
We got one last preseason game, and then...
Well, as I do on every podcast or radio appearance I do, let's close with a Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Go.